Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It's time to wake to sleep with Sleep Science Today, where we learn to sleep well with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky, and today we're going to be talking about a topic that's a little bit hard to say. It's called orofacial myofunctional therapy, and we have two experts here with us. We've got Joy Muller. She is a licensed dental hygienist, and we've got Samantha Weaver, who is a licensed speech pathologist. Welcome, ladies, and Joy, why don't you start off? Give us a little bit more about your background, please.
Okay, well, I started out, I lived in Flossmoor, Illinois. It's funny, I'm a hygienist, Joy Muller.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about the name Muller. That's right, Flossmoor and Muller, wonderful. Well, you picked the right profession.
And I was very passionate about dentistry because I've had a lot of work myself. And I figured I could have been a dentist, but I wanted to prevent problems, so I became a hygienist. And I was married, had two children. The first one was perfect. I mean, he slept all night. He ate what he was supposed to. He was great. My second child that came along 2 years later, Brian, he was the monster child, everybody called him, because he didn't sleep. He couldn't eat. he was born with all kinds of problems. He screamed. And I knew something was wrong with him, but I kept going to the regular doctors, and they put him on medicine and took his tonsils out when he was three and adenoids, which at that time was undone. Then he went into when he was, he still didn't sleep. When he was six, he was diagnosed with ADHD. And they put him on a lot of medicine. And I was one of those frantic mothers that wanted my child to get better. So I put him on different diets. I kept going to different therapists and different physicians. And he had developed headaches really bad. And he still wasn't sleeping. He'd be up in the middle of the night, and we were up in the middle of the night. And what happened from then is I started looking at other doctors that might be able to help him. I took him to Michael Reese Hospital and all these big hospitals, Mayo, and they thought he needed to see a neurologist and a neurosurgeon and have surgery on his brain because he couldn't go to school.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he couldn't focus. The nurse at school would say, no, your son, pick him up. He has another skull crusher. And the medicine that they put him on didn't help. And when he was 11, he was getting ulcers from all the medicine they put him on. Mm. And finally, my husband was transferred to San Diego from Chicago. And I got a dental hygiene job because there wasn't a dental school there. And he turned out to be a very outside-the-box type of dentist. He was a TMJ specialist. And I told him I might have to take time off to take my son for surgery. And he said, let me take a look at him. I said he had real bad headaches. So this dentist had taken a class on myofunctional therapy. And he looked at my son and said, his tongue is in the wrong place. I never heard of such a thing. I said, what do you mean? Tongue is in the wrong place. He said, it's supposed to be up in the roof of the mouth. And instead, his mouth is open and he's mouth breathing most of the time. So he gave me exercises to do. They're not really exercises. They were therapeutic type of helpful things to get all the muscles of his tongue. Tongue is actually an organ. It's not a muscle. It has 16 muscles in it.
Wow.
And so we started working with that, and he said I should go see an osteopathic physician, which I never heard of. There were only two in the whole country at the time, but there was one in San Diego. So I took him there, and she did cranial work on him. And then the dentist made a little expander to expand out his mouth. He had a very narrow palate. He wasn't eating anything. He was real small. He had what we call failure to thrive. And so after working with the exercises, the osteopath, and the dentist, within, I'd say, 3 weeks, his headache stopped. 3 months later, he started eating. He was eating two meals at each breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I couldn't get enough food, and he started growing. Hmm. He was real short. He was much shorter than any other kid in his class. And his teeth straightened out, and he was sleeping all night, and he was making friends, and he could focus, and the teachers kept saying, what did you do to Brian? He's different. He's changed. And I thought, well, I have to learn about this. So I studied everything in the field, went back to school, and that was 1980. And I started teaching courses at the, I think it was 1988. We were teaching more in Europe because they were more open.
Right.
Some of the schools here were like closed to this, you know. And we taught all over the world and came back to L.A., moved to L.A. after 9/11. And that's my story.
And Wow. So you got into this because it really was something directly impacting you and your family.
Yeah, and I've been dedicating my life for 44 years to try to understand. We've had some roadblocks. Certain doctors believed in this. You know, I met a doctor who was the head of pediatric sleep at Mayo Clinic, and he had me come and do grand rounds for a whole week in Rochester. And then I also was invited to Stanford, and Samantha at the time had, you should get her story, it's very interesting. She was interested in myofunctional therapy too, and breathing at the time. She was my breathing specialist, and we went and gave a 3-hour presentation to Stanford to the sleep department, and the head of the department, Christian Gimeno, he was known as the grandfather of, or the father of sleep medicine, one of them. And he believed in us. And he started doing a lot of research on it. And it's completely changed the field of sleep medicine because, you know, as you know, the standard of care is CPAP or mandibular advancement device or different medications and
for sleep apnea.
The CPAP, they do orthognathic surgery now too to move your face forward, which is pretty invasive. Right.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But myofunctional therapy was proven to be eliminate or reduce 50% of the AHI in adults and 62% in children. That's just with myofunctional therapy.
Right. And when you say AHI, you mean apnea hypopnea index, which is basically the way we measure the sleep apnea to see how bad or how good either way it might be.
How many times you stop breathing at night. So I'm very excited now. I think it's even better than that because we've added a whole lot of new things. And maybe Samantha could talk about our course.
Well, I kind of came into this at you were describing your child. Well, I was not at that level of severity, but in 2009, when I met Joy, and I went with you to a conference, and I was just starting speech pathology, you said, no, you got to see what I do. And I heard a doctor get up in front of the room and talk about the face that was in free fall. And he showed the profile image of somebody who was a mouth breather versus a nasal breather. And I will never forget sitting there looking at this profile, because the first thing you saw was the bump in the nose and this kind of smaller jaw and maxilla, so the upper and lower jaw kind of set back, and elongation of the lower third. And I was in my early 30s at the time, and I started looking at these images and immediately making connections about my own face, which has a bump in the nose, because I started to realize I was that kid with so many myofunctional disorders. I performed pretty well in school, and it was the last part of my health issue, but it really changed. I had, you know, chronic tonsillitis. I had a very narrow palate. I wasn't expanded. I was a thumb sucker. I had my tonsils removed, but I was kind of getting by and it was kind of okay. But here I was in my early 30s, realizing the sequential effect of a myofunctional disorder on the craniofacial bones themselves. And so I started to see that most people just don't look at the developing face in that way. And I was a walking example of it. And I had always mouth breathed as a child. And, but, you know, my performance didn't require intervention. It just showed up in my dental presentation.
Right.
So I had a lot of dental issues. And I just realized that, gosh, no one really knows about this. And it even affected my speech. Before I went into speech pathology, I was an actor on the stage and I was performing in London and had a graduate degree. And I will never forget, people would be in the audience and they say, Samantha, you have a slurring S. You have to work with a speech pathologist to get this organized. And it's part of the reason why I went into speech pathology.
Right.
But nobody talked about the architecture of the mouth, that I had such a small oral cavity that would set me up for upper airway resistance syndrome, snoring, certainly, but worse, sleep apnea. And this was the year 2009, there was a paper that was published in Brazil talking about oropharyngeal exercises as a way to mitigate and reduce the apnea hypopnea index. So it kind of all came in this moment of self-recognition, and then a lot of learning through Joy and her patients. And that's when I began really looking at breathing and the slow and low breathing concept that affected sleep, affected dentition, nasal breathing, tongue posture, and then I, you know, advanced in speech pathology, and then I became a myofunctional therapist. So I really became real an activist to help people get this information, and that's what I do now.
Wow. Wow. That's wonderful. So each of you has a very strong reason for being in this field and learning this. And I want to, you know, move on to talking about what exactly this long phrase means of orofacial myofunctional therapy. But before we do that, I need to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we're back on Sleep Science Today. We are talking with Joy Moeller and Samantha Weaver. We were learning how they got into the field of orofacial myofunctional therapy. And now I'd love to find out, what exactly is it? What does this all mean? Who wants to take that one?
Well, I think we come together in understanding that people are just a bundle of habits and practices. And mm-hmm. these habits get created in utero, even in terms of sequence, patterns, muscle response. And so what we do in myofunctional therapy is train people in a very basic 4-tiered way. One is to establish nasal breathing day and night, to make sure their tongue is comfortably up in the roof of the mouth, so that as you're listening to this, you can kind of feel, is my tongue up? Is it down? And you have to kind of start to feel, where is my tongue? Mm-hmm. Then we look at how the tongue is in the swallow. And of course, the tongue is related to chewing. It creates and prepares the bolus through the teeth and the collection. So there's the swallow aspect. The first two parts of the swallow is just the management of the food in the mouth before you actually swallow. Right. So that would be the job of a myofunctional therapist, to really tune in to better chewing patterns, to, for one, help people chew, because you would be amazed. Most people are just eating so many soft foods that they just aren't comfortable with longer, better chewing. Mm-hmm. And then the final aspect is putting it together in terms of how the body, the musculoskeletal system, and this kind of descending pathway from the tongue to the toes, the head, the neck, how this cranial and cervical and spinal relationship is affected by where your tongue sits. Mm-hmm. And that's actually called glossopostural syndrome. There's a term which basically describes, how is your tongue affecting the rest of your body posture? And right. So we work on people with these habits in sleep, in food, chewing, swallowing, and most people are going to have some kind of myofunctional disorder. And there's a severity, of course. Some get away with it and do okay, but then they realize, gosh, I really am starting to snore and it's causing a problem. And I am now sleeping in a different bedroom from my husband or my spouse. And, you know, those are the parts of this puzzle that you look at. The, are you breathing through your nose? Is your tongue up? What's your body posture when you sleep? What other side effects do you feel like you have? Do you have a history of headaches? Do you have dental orthodontic history, temporomandibular joint pain? So there's a whole bunch of, you know, clinical phenotypes of what a myofunctional disorder is. There's 32 markers.
Wow.
And we look at those and then we try to correct them.
Wow. Well, let me jump over to Joy for a second here. And, you know, Joy, I'm interested for you. When did you first make the connection between sleep and all of these orofacial things that we're talking about?
Well, actually, it started with my son, because it became a family problem, because when my son would wake up, the whole household would wake up. So everybody's sleep in the household was disturbed. And because I worked with a lot of patients doing myofunctional therapy, because of the TMJ specialist that I worked with for many, many years, I saw how if the tongue wasn't working correctly and they weren't chewing, a lot of people chew, they have a preferential chewing side where they chew on one side, or they have habits where they lean all the time on one side. They're not even aware that it's causing the disc to slip and it pinches a nerve in the jaw. But once I saw how Brian could sleep all night, I was like, wow, this is really critical for sleep.
And well, can you, sorry to interrupt, but I just want to make sure I'm clear on this. How old was he at the time that he was able to do the work that he was doing to get these improvements? Was he still a baby, or how old?
No, well, now they do start infant myofunctional therapy. A lot of lactation people or speech-language pathologists that are trained in that early intervention. But we're working. I have about a three-year-old right now in my practice, so I work with children that can actually do these habit eliminations and replace the habit with the tongue, teach them how to breathe correctly, how not to sleep on their face, because a lot of kids like to sleep on their stomach all night and they actually smash their face when they're trying to grow. And so we work with early intervention, trying to guide them, but I had an older lady today. I work with people in their 60s and 70s even.
That was going to be my next question, is there an age that's too old, or anybody can benefit?
I treated people close to 90. Yeah.
Wow.
Anybody can do it. Because if the back of the tongue is not functioning, it's the genial glossus muscle. And if the pharyngeal muscles have collapsed, there are so many exercises that we can do to keep the tongue out of the airway so they can breathe better. And getting that airway open is critical.
Right, right. Well, so, you know, I'm listening to what you're talking about, and I think it's easy for me to understand that if I am awake and I'm consciously paying attention to my tongue or my muscle tone or things like that, that's easy for me to understand how I can, you know, manipulate my tongue. But if I'm asleep, how does this impact someone who's sleeping? Isn't it that their tongue just kind of might fall back into their throat if they're laying on their back?
No, the tongue is actually an organ, and it's made up of many muscles. So if we work with these muscles to tighten and tone them and change the function, then it lasts all night. And they can sleep better. A lot of patients really are into it, and there's a lot of things that we recommend. We have, I used to have a music teacher in my office who taught didgeridoo lessons. And even that helps. That's been proven in Brazil in their sleep lab. The teachers, now I use this product called the Breather, which I love. I have all my patients use that. And then we also use a product called the Froggy Mouth. Maybe Samantha, you could talk about that. It comes from Paris, right?
I mean, we're always looking to optimize tongue function. And, you know, people say, well, is it just about the tongue? Well, actually, it starts with the nose. The nose and the tongue are intrinsically connected, because if you can't nasal breathe, your mouth is going to open. And your tongue's job is to get out of the airway. It's like the New York City of muscles. It never sleeps. It's always going to protrude. And that can develop into a tongue thrusting pattern. Mm-hmm. And we see this in little children as they kind of go through the developmental stages, where you have a smaller face as a baby, not a lot of room for the tongue. So the tongue comes forward in the swallow. And then we see how it's carried over as the baby is growing, even though there's more vertical dimension. Instead of coming forward, you're supposed to go up. So there's tools to assist with the swallow pattern. One would be the froggy mouth, and there's other methods as well. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at the swallow always in terms of, is it really protecting the airway? Has it developed a pattern? And you'd be amazed how many adults have developed a pattern to breathe or to pause before they swallow. And their coordination around chewing and swallowing is related to their poor muscle function and development. And of course, when you go to sleep, like you said, you're in that deep state of paralysis. But the other side of this coin is that many people who are in that sleep disorder category are in a lighter stage of sleep. So we're trying to promote better sleep by keeping the airway open. Mm-hmm. And that anytime the brain is assessing oxygen is reducing, it opens the mouth, or it can grind, like bruxism, grinding is a method to open up the airway. So that's a phenotype of a myofunctional disorder. Mm-hmm. So helping people with their tongue palate contact day and night is all of these kind of pathways into optimal function during sleep.
So let me ask this, Samantha, because you said that you had sleep apnea. You used this to help you with that. What, from a patient's perspective, what was it like? What types of things did you find were going wrong that were leading to your apnea, and what types of things specifically were you able to focus on that helped you improve?
Well, to clarify, I was not diagnosed with sleep apnea, but that's the trajectory I would be on.
Okay.
Had I not intervened with very basic concepts like nasal breathing, lip seal, tongue posture. And yes, nasal breathing is one of the easiest, and yet you really have to understand, why are people not breathing through their nose all night? Right. Is there something in their diet that's causing inflammation? Is their house full of dust or dander from the animals? So anything that is triggering or kind of creating this congested pattern, the mouth will open, and then you have this duality, because the more you breathe through your mouth, the more nasal congestion you develop. It's a way to protect your airway. So you kind of have to go to the heart of what is the cause. Like, why are you not nasal breathing? Is it nutritional, dietary? Is it because you have a very small nasal base, and that's because you didn't grow up with your tongue on your roof of your mouth to widen the bone? So the roof of the mouth is the floor of the nose. Mm-hmm. So if you see somebody as an adult who has dental crowding and narrow palate, you know that their tongue has been low and not supporting that bone in development.
Oh, never thought about any of that. So then maybe this is an unfair question or not, I don't know, but we're talking about moving from mouth breathing to nose breathing. And if you look on the internet at times, you're going to find like mouth tape, that people put tape over their mouth at night. What's the deal with that? Do you know?
You know, mouth tape is usually the first part of this program, but the tongue function and the suction of the tongue is really what you want to create. So there's negative pressure in the mouth, and when the mouth is open, the pressure drops, and so the suction of the tongue is broken. So it's this, you know, mouth tape can assist, but really you're trying to get elevated tongue pressure. Mm-hmm. And that suction comes naturally. I really love mouth tape. I've been using it since 2009 when I started doing breathing re-education. And I think it's great. I think it's really helpful. But you also have to think about keeping the nose clean and addressing tongue function and suction.
Right. Well, let me stop us here because this is time for a break. And we'll be right back on Sleep Science Today. Okay, we're back on Sleep Science Today. My name is Andrew Polsky.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
All right, we're back on Sleep Science Today. My name is Andrew Kolsky. I'm your host, and we're talking about orofacial myofunctional therapy. So, Joy, this next question is for you. If somebody comes to you because they need help, they realize that there's something going on, they're one of these people that maybe has the smaller mouth and all the issues you've been describing, what does treatment actually look like, and how long does it take? Like, what am I going to find when I meet you?
Well, the assessment period, I spend an hour and a half, and I go through complete history, including brothers and sisters, and if they have children, what kind of problems they had with their children. I go into birth trauma, C-section, were they colicky as baby. I go into habits. I look at everything from nail biting to leaning on your face, all the habits that people have, even smoking cigarettes or chewing gum on one side. I watch them eat and drink something. They're instructed to have a flashlight so I can watch all the muscles. When I do an assessment inside their mouth, I look at their palate I take a measurement from molar to molar across the inside. I look at their Mallampati score, which is soft palate and uvula. Do I see an opening there? Mm-hmm. I look at how they sleep, you know, what time do they sleep? How many hours do they wake up in the night? Do they have trouble falling asleep? And in the morning, are they getting up ready to go or are they tired? And do they have that 3 o'clock in the afternoon tiredness? I look at tongue function a lot. I take measurements to see if their tongue is restricted. That's the frenum, the string underneath your tongue, sometimes has fibers inside the fascial tissue that restricts the tongue from getting to the roof of their mouth. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing more and more people that have it now than ever before. I don't know why. You know, I have a hypothesis that could be micro nanoplastics. Definitely hereditary. It has to do a little bit with breastfeeding long enough exclusively or not breastfeeding mm-hmm. at all, but mm-hmm. that the tongue tie is involved. And I don't send anybody for surgery unless I've done everything I can do to stretch everything and tone it and get the tongue working as best as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I do work with certain doctors and ENT and an oral surgeon here in Los Angeles. But some people use lasers and some people use scalpels. I never question what they do. But it's not a bad procedure because you're not cutting into bone. It's mm-hmm. soft tissue.
And so you're talking about... So if I were looking in the mirror and I lifted my tongue up, there's that skin where your tongue attaches to your bottom palate.
Right, yeah. Right. And sometimes okay. it's not forming right.
I see.
You don't know why.
Well, let me ask this. Because you've had the experience of seeing a lot of different people and the structure of their mouth and all that, from your experience, when you look at someone... Is it easy to say, you know, this person probably has obstructive sleep apnea?
Pretty much. You can see sometimes dark circles under their eyes. You can see, you know, kind of a tiredness look on them. And if they mm-hmm. tell you they don't sleep well, they toss and turn all night, and they wake up to go to the bathroom, how many times do they wake up? It's called enuresis because your mm-hmm. body... Your body wants you to live, and if you're choking on your tongue, it'll do all kind of things to help you. It'll wake you up or have you toss and turn. You'll have to make more urine, so you have to go to the bathroom, and you just don't sleep well, and so you get up and watch TV. We do a lot of sleep hygiene where we eliminate a lot of the things that people do, like eat right before they go to bed and do all that kind of watch TV all night, you know, waking up and falling asleep.
Right,
those things.
Right.
We work on what they're doing to create. We try to get people into understanding that there's four stages of sleep. And when you get into the REM sleep, you're sleeping deep. I always use the analogy, it's like when you were in high school and you had the summer off and you could sleep till noon and get up and go to the beach, you know, that deep restful sleep that right. most adults now don't have, and a lot of kids don't have.
Right, right. Well, let me ask Samantha, are there common misconceptions that people have about orofacial myofunctional therapy or even just about someone with the features of the smaller mouth and the things that you were describing before?
I think a lot of people think, oh, you work with people who've had strokes. So there's a little bit of a misunderstanding about what a pathological swallow is. There are four stages of a swallow, and somebody who suffers from a neurodegenerative or an event, a TIA, where they have a stroke, that can absolutely affect a swallow, and it's not what myofunctional therapy looks at. We look at the chewing, mixing the food with saliva, preparing it, and moving it toward the back of the mouth, and then that swallow takes place. So I think myofunctional therapy is really something that most people really could benefit from, because we are all suffering from soft foods. We're not chewing. We have sleep disorders. It's an epidemic of sleep issues. So it's looking at kind of the lifestyle of what could have contributed to these basic disorders. Mm-hmm. And I think it's through functional approach to health. And so we work collaboratively, of course, with orthodontists. You know, there'll be cases to widen the palate. Even as an adult, you absolutely can do that. Surgery, of course, could be an option for sleep apnea. But there's a lot of collaboration. It's the myofunctional therapist is one piece. And for the best treatment, you want a physical body manual therapist. Mm-hmm. And somebody who's helping with architecture in most cases, like of the mouth and breathing. So it's a holistic functional approach, and it can be done at any age.
Right, right. Great. Well, let me ask this. You know, before we started the show, you each had shared with me a book. Joy, there's one that you had written, and then Samantha, there's one that you had written together. Joy, why don't you start off? Can you share with us what is the title of that book and what would people find in it? So, Is Your Tongue Killing You?
Yeah. I wrote this book because I started feeling like I would be asked the same questions by my patients over and over and over again.
Sure, sure.
And this book is more of my autobiography of how I got into it and my son. But then I also have 11 different co-authors, a sleep medicine doctor, a cardiologist, osteopathic physician, a breastfeeding specialist, a lot of other contributors on how they got involved. And I know the foreword is from the former dean of sleep medicine from Yale. So there's a Wonderful. Lot of good information, how-tos written down in case I die. I wanted to get it out there as fast Right. as I could. And
Great.
So I think I'm working on getting a new cover made, and because this kind of frightens people, and I don't want them to read it and gather some information that might help them and their families, because Right. it becomes a family disease, sleep apnea.
Yeah.
It really does.
Well, I appreciate you. You know, sharing that, and just in the interest of time here, we just have a short time left. So, Samantha, can you share with us Sure. the other book?
This is a children's book about a tongue and kind of understanding that the tongue has a place to live. And so it's really an allegory of where is the right spot for the tongue. So it's called Tucker the Tongue Finds His Spot. Working on other books that follow this, and it's really to help children understand why am I doing this and why is she asking me about my tongue, and getting curious about their own body through a narrative story.
Wow, wonderful, wonderful. Great. Well, I really appreciate the time to be able to speak with you both. This is the first time we've been able to talk about this topic, and I'm glad that we had two wonderful experts who could share all of your knowledge and experience. We're out of time for our show for today, but I want to thank Joy Moeller. I want to thank Samantha Weaver for coming in, talking to us about orofacial myofunctional therapy. Feel free to watch our other episodes on sleep science today, learn more about other sleep science areas. Visit us at our website, www.sleepsciencetoday.com. We look forward to seeing you on future shows.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Science Today and learning how to sleep better with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio. For more information on how you can achieve better sleep, go to sleepsciencetoday.com. Remember, sleep science today and sleep better tonight.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.